Chapter 10. I walked down the hall in a daze. Dally had taken the car, and I started the long walk home in a stupor. Johnny was dead. But he wasn't. That still body back in the hospital wasn't Johnny. Johnny was somewhere else, maybe asleep in the lot, or playing the pinball machine in the bowling alley, or sitting on the back steps of the church in Windricksville. I'd go home and walk by the lot, and Johnny would be sitting on the curb smoking a cigarette, and maybe we'd lie on our backs and watch the stars. He isn't dead, I said to myself. He isn't dead. And this time my dreaming worked. I convinced myself that he wasn't dead. I must have wandered around for hours, sometimes even out into the street getting honked at and cussed out. I might have stumbled around all night except for a man who asked me if I wanted a ride. Huh? Oh, yeah, I guess so, I said. I got in. The man, who was in his mid-20s, looked at me. Are you all right, kid? You look like you've been in a fight. I have been. A rumble. I'm okay. Johnny is not dead, I told myself, and I believed it. I hate to tell you this, kiddo, the guy said dryly, but you're bleeding all over my car seats. I blinked. I am? Your head. I reached up to scratch the side of my head where it had been itching for a while, and when I looked at my hand, it was smeared with blood. Gosh, mister, I'm sorry, I said, dumbfounded. Don't worry about it. This wreck's been through worse. What's your address? I'm not about to dump a kid out on the streets this time of night. I told him. He drove me to my house and I got out. Thanks a lot. He waved me on. I'm just naturally a great guy. He vroomed the motor and peeled out. What was left of our gang was in the living room. Steve was stretched out on the sofa, his shirt unbuttoned and his side bandaged. His eyes were closed, but when the door shut behind me, he opened them, and I suddenly wondered if my own eyes looked as feverish and bewildered as his. Soda had a wide cut on his lip and a bruise across his cheek. There was a band-aid over Derry's forehead, and he had a black eye. One side of Two-Bit's face was taped up. I found out later he had 4 stitches in his cheek and 7 in his head where he had busted his knuckles open over a socia's head. They were lounging around, reading the paper and smoking. Where's the party? I thought dully. Weren't Soda and Steve planning a party after the rumble? They all looked up when I walked in. Derry leaped to his feet. Where have you been? Oh, let's don't start that again, I thought. He stopped suddenly. Pony boy, what's the matter? I looked at all of them, a little frightened. Johnny, he's dead. My voice sounded strange, even to me. But he's not dead, a voice in my head said. We told him about beating the socias, and, I don't know, he just died. He told me to stay gold, I remembered. What was he talking about? There was a stricken silence. I don't think any of us had realized how bad off Johnny really had been. Soda made a funny noise and looked like he was going to start crying. Two-Bit's eyes were closed and his teeth were clenched, and I suddenly remembered Dally. Dally pounding on the wall. Dallas is gone, I said. He ran out like the devil was after him. He's gonna blow up. He couldn't take it. How can I take it? I wondered. Dally is tougher than I am. Why can I take it when Dally can't? And then I knew. Johnny was the only thing Dally loved. And now Johnny was gone. So he finally broke. Two-Bit spoke everyone's feelings. So even Dally has a breaking point. I started shaking. Derry said something in a low voice to Soda. Pony boy, Soda said softly like he was talking to an injured animal. You look sick. Sit down. I backed up just like a frightened animal, shaking my head. I'm okay. I felt sick. I felt as if any minute I was going to fall flat on my face, but I shook my head. I don't want to sit down. Derry took a step toward me, but I backed away. Don't touch me, I said. My heart was pounding in slow thumps, throbbing at the side of my head, and I wondered if everyone else could hear it. Maybe that's why they're all looking at me, I thought. They can hear my heart beating. The phone rang, and after a moment's hesitation, Darry turned from me to it. He said, "Hello?" and then listened. He hung up quickly. It was Dally. He phoned from a booth. "He's just robbed a grocery store and the cops are after him. We gotta hide him. He'll be at the lot in a minute." We all left the house at a dead run, even Steve, and I wondered vaguely why no one was doing somersaults off the steps this time. Things were sliding in and out of focus, and it seemed funny to me that I couldn't run in a straight line. We reached the vacant lot just as Dally came in, running as hard as he could from the opposite direction. The wail of a siren grew louder, and then a police car pulled up across the street from the lot. Doors slammed as the policeman leaped out. Dally had reached the circle of light under the street lamp, and skidding to a halt, he turned and jerked a black object from his waistband. I remembered his voice.
"I've been carrying a heater. It ain't loaded, but it sure does help a bluff."
It was only yesterday that Dally had told Johnny and me that. But yesterday was years ago, a lifetime ago. Dally raised the gun, and I thought, "You blasted fool. They don't know you're only bluffing." And even as the policeman's gun spit fire into the night, I knew that was what Dally wanted. He was jerked half around by the impact of the bullets, then slowly crumpled with a look of grim triumph on his face. He was dead before he hit the ground. But I knew that was what he wanted, even as the lot echoed with the cracks of the shots, even as I begged silently, "Please, not him. Not him and Johnny both." I knew he would be dead, because Dally Winston wanted to be dead, and he always got what he wanted. Nobody would write editorials praising Dally. Two friends of mine had died that night, one a hero, the other a hoodlum. But I remembered Dally pulling Johnny through the window of the burning church, Dally giving us his gun, although it could mean jail for him, Dally risking his life for us, trying to keep Johnny out of trouble. And now he was a dead juvenile delinquent, and there wouldn't be any editorials in his favor. Dally didn't die a hero. He died violent and young and desperate, just like we all knew he'd die someday. Just like Tim Shepard and Curly Shepard and the Brumley boys and the other guys we knew would die someday. But Johnny was right. He died gallant.